Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, not Monday. It's a Tuesday, September 4th, even though it does feel like a Monday.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to Vegas?
No.
Good. Did you see what traffic jams they had coming back? They had like a camera, live camera from the highway.
Yeah, I can
in the middle
imagine.
Of the desert. 14-mile backup.
Yeah. I feel like everyone I know was in Vegas.
Yeah. And that's why I never do this. I never take trips when everybody else goes.
No.
It's crazy. I mean, can you imagine coming back from a vacation?
I'm glad
you
I didn't
want to
go.
Get home. Yeah. So I try not to drive it when I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So did you manage to have a nice weekend? 3 days?
I didn't do shit this weekend.
You did not do anything?
Not a thing.
Wow.
I like attempted to go out on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
And I went out with this chick that I'm not really cool with, but I'm cool enough to like go out with you. And the whole time we went to go get drinks, she was talking about herself.
Really?
And I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And even when I like try to interject and like maybe bring up something else, she even did her like whole casting tape for
right.
a movie she just did. Wow. I was like, did this bitch really just
take the purse off the table because we can't see our
no,
guests.
No, I'm not putting my bag on the floor. You can have bad luck for 20 years.
Well,
put it over here.
Oh, come on. No, this is by the camera.
I'm not putting it on the floor.
Okay, put it on your knees then or something. I don't know what to tell you. You want me to bring you a chair?
My bag is always there.
No, your bag is never on the table.
My bag was definitely there on Friday too.
I don't know, but it's right in the way. I mean, we have two great guests here. I want people to see them.
Oh, you're so annoying.
Thank you very much.
You're
okay.
Welcome.
There, we're going over there today, folks. I'm just trying to make the show look good. Come on, give me a break.
It's fine. I'm just not putting my bag on the floor. Look, it's done.
Okay, it
it's
doesn't
over.
Have to be on the floor.
It's over.
Okay. I'll make sure I bring you an extra chair next time.
Sounds good.
And it's always
you do
there.
That.
I mean, you've been here for a long time. I never remember your purse.
Every
being
single
on the
day
table.
That purse is there.
No.
Every single day is there.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I want you to rewatch the Facebook Live from Friday.
I will. I okay. will. I'm telling you.
You go ahead and do that.
Do you always have the same purse?
Always the same purse.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well. I don't agree, but we'll see. We'll go back and check it out. But at any rate, you hate me enough this morning. So
yeah,
okay.
I do.
Thank you.
But I hate everyone this morning. So
really?
It's fine, yeah.
What's the problem?
It's my time of the month. So
oh,
like,
okay.
You breathe and I just can't stand
it's my
you.
Time of the month, too. Well, at least I went to a nice pool party with the family yesterday.
Oh, that's nice. With your brother?
We've got a lot of extended family in town. Because there was a baby born and all that stuff. So a lot of family I haven't
seen. Your brother had a baby?
No, my cousin.
Oh, okay.
So many people I haven't seen in years are in town.
That's fun.
Yeah, my son came down. So it was just fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I like those things.
That was Sunday or yesterday?
No, yesterday. Uh-huh. And I prefer that than going to some pool party with nobody I know.
Yeah.
You know? So
I mean, both could be fun.
I love family, you know? I really do.
Because... Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling my son yesterday, I said, you know, at least with these people, you know you can trust them, you know?
Right.
Because they're family, you know? You go to some other fucking party, people all want to, like, step on you and whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to go cares. To parties with people that you trust.
Yeah, you know? Otherwise, meh.
You can get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Like I told you about that Uber driver who drove that woman home who was intoxicated. Her friends threw her in the back seat, and he ended the trip, took her to a hotel, and raped her over 20 times.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, this happened, like, I think in, like, Minnesota or maybe, like, Mississippi, something with an M.
Okay. There's a lot of states with an M, but okay.
Yeah, horrible. Whoa. Yeah. But, I mean, if my friend was that drunk, I'm going home with you.
Yeah.
I would never just throw you in the back of an Uber.
Yeah, who does that?
That's what happens when you go out with people that don't really care about you.
So he took her to a hotel, and she was so out of it that she just walked along.
And then she woke up, and she immediately called the cops, because obviously... Wow.
How scary, man. Yeah. Fuck the Uber, too. You
or,
know?
Like, what if he gave her, like, an STD, and for the rest of her life, she's going to be just messed up?
Yeah.
She's never going to take Uber ever again.
Yeah, just Uber? She's not going to... Talk to guys probably for the rest of our life either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty bad. Folks, in a few minutes, we do have a couple of great guests in the studio. We're going to talk about their film. And They seem to be cool people. So we'll get to them in just a moment. The funny thing is we had two different names here on the list, and then two other guys from the movie came. So I told them they're just as welcome. You know, we're not going to throw them out.
Yeah, we don't care.
We can't throw you out just because the names don't agree, you know. So we'll go there. I wanted to talk about the Nike thing because everybody's talking about it.
It's ridiculous.
Did you see that Nike lost $3 billion already off its value this morning?
It doesn't matter.
Alone? Yeah. Does it matter?
No.
I know. Who gives a shit about
and
Nike?
And anyway? That $3 billion is from people that shouldn't be buying that brand anyway. It's people that don't like a black person that has an opinion. So why would you want...
That has nothing to do with it. Why it's are you going to race because, now?
What are you talking about?
It has
about?
Nothing to do with race.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, I knew we'd get into this. Yeah. That's why I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah, you shouldn't bring anything up that has anything to do with black people in it.
Oh, really? Even if it has nothing to do with them being black.
Okay, so why do you think they burned their sneakers? Because Colin is the head of their poster child now.
Who burned the sneakers?
So many people.
Oh, that are protesting and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that the whole thing... Well, I don't want to talk about it. Fuck it, man. Really, really. This show is not about this. We're going to take up the whole show, the time from our guests, just to discuss something. We're not going to change each other's minds anyway.
But you're agreeing with people and their opinions on the Nike then.
Of course.
Okay, yeah, we're not going to agree then.
No, we're not going to agree, you know?
That kind of makes me think that you don't really like black people.
Why?
Because you're agreeing with them.
Because race is always a go-to thing.
So why do you agree with them then? If it has nothing to do with race.
Because he does not respect the national anthem.
Oh, come on.
And he displayed anti-American behavior.
And half of America did too. Why, come on? Half of America did too. It's not
okay, but they're not representing Nike.
Half of them are. OBJ kneeled and he
has only one person is representing Nike right now. Okay?
They got a good person.
But listen, okay, from my perspective, it has absolutely nothing to do with race. And I think it's okay to talk about things, even when there's black people involved. Why not?
Yeah, it's okay to talk about it,
but it doesn't have to be racist.
Can you name five reasons why it's an issue that he is the head besides he kneeled and everybody else kneeled too?
It doesn't have to be five issues. One is enough. Then
half of America wouldn't have endorsements.
Okay, because maybe they're not patriotic. I don't know. But I know that you don't disrespect the flag. Did you see that?
I'd kneel.
What's her name? Ariana, what's her last name?
Grande?
Yeah. She had a picture wiping her butt off with a flag. Did you see that one?
No, we could.
Okay, all right. So anyway... All right.
Everyone has their own opinion.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And nobody would be kneeling if Trump wasn't president. That's fact.
Oh, so that's a reason to do it.
He sucks,
But half the people don't think so.
Yeah, I know. Half.
Okay. All right. So which half is right? Your half.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
All right. I rest my case. All right. I guess Monica Lewinsky was in Israel for a conference.
She got up and walked out.
As soon as they brought up Bill Clinton, she got up and walked out.
I actually watched that in the car right before I got
really?
Up here.
Yeah. I guess that was an off-limit question, but nobody else knew it. So
she's saying that she told them ahead of time not to ask that question.
Yeah, I'm sure. But why does she think she's there, for crying out loud? Who cares what Monica Lewinsky has to say other than she was close with Bill Clinton and people want to know.
What does she even
it.
Do now?
I don't know. Spokesperson for something.
I don't know. She just got up, walked out.
Yeah. She says there were clear parameters about what we could discuss. Well, I'm sure she doesn't want to talk about it.
That's a clear example of one thing that happens in your past can follow you for the rest of your life, literally.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, she wasn't a minor, so she should still take responsibility, but...
I mean, I don't know why she's acting like a victim. Yeah. Like, you chose to suck his dick. Nobody, nobody shoved his dick in his mouth or he'd be in jail for rape.
I don't know. Maybe it was. Who knows?
No, because he would be on trial like Harvey Weinstein. That was consensual.
Yeah.
She wanted to come up. Now she doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah. Well, she was in love with Bill Clinton.
I'm all for women activists, but there was like somebody else on the news that said that she hooked up with this rapper, 6ix9ine. Have you heard of him? The one with all the rainbow hair and the face tattoos.
Yeah.
And she said that she was 16 and like him and his boys like slept with her. And it was consensual, but now she wants money and she's taking him to court. I'm like, I don't feel bad for a woman like that.
Yeah.
I feel bad for women who actually like get raped.
Right, right.
And we're forced to do something. But I don't feel bad for women who choose to do something and then want something out of it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, I wanted to ask you, I started watching the movie Identity Theft. Have you ever seen that with Jason Bateman and what's her name, McCarthy?
Yeah, it's terrible. McCarthy.
Is it terrible?
Yeah, it's
well,
terrible.
I kind of like the first half.
I really like them both, but the movie's really bad. It's really bad.
But it's funny. What the hell?
He's like in a serious show, Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he took serious roles like that. I like want to watch the show just to see him play something that's not funny.
They're saying it's an amazing show, yeah. So maybe we should check
it out. It's on season two already, so we're already behind.
Yeah.
But I did watch Coco.
Oh, yeah?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I loved it so much.
Oh, God.
I cried like four times.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how you didn't cry.
Yeah, I looked for the parts where I need to cry, but I couldn't find any, so I didn't.
So many parts.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Oh, well. All right. Well, we're going to bring on our guest right now. We have a couple of filmmakers in the studio, Mr. Roberto Salle and Jake Katowski. I hope I didn't butcher your names.
Mine was great.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You're pretty good, right? Okay.
Thanks for joining our debates this morning.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
me. We argue a lot.
Yeah, but that's okay. We didn't want to part of this stuff because your interview needs to be controversy free, you know? So there you go. I need you guys a little closer to the mics so we can hear you, okay, when you talk and stuff. So thank you for coming in, guys. Now, I did want to acknowledge first Andrew Reed, who's the director, right? And he was going to come in, and he probably got too busy for us. I don't know. But Roberto, you're the writer, and you're the producer.
Right.
So were you the first one that put this together or was it from the writer point of view? How did this come about?
I'll let Roberto handle. I actually was the last person onto the creative team.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so I guess it's a creative team and then they decide we need someone to produce this actually and put it together.
Well, yeah,
that's
so kind
of backwards, no?
It started with Andrew, who it's his story and Roberto will get into that. Brought on Roberto to co-write it with him and then Eric, my co-producer, was on early, and then they realized I needed an extra creative force to help produce the movie. And
awesome.
I met with them. It was a great partnership, and the rest is history.
Right.
Right.
And how did you meet the guys?
They posted, so they were in the production program at USC.
Uh-huh.
I was in the producing program at USC, which confuses almost everybody.
Right, right.
Yeah,
but they make movies. We get movies made. That's really the key difference.
I see,
so they were
okay.
looking for somebody who had that strong producing background. They posted in our group forum. Mm-hmm. I loved the story. Met with them, and we just clicked.
Is this a short film?
Short film.
Okay.
That's a short film. And Roberto, what's the name of the film? The
name of the film is Asia A.
Asia A. Okay, so tell us what that means. I mean, you said it has nothing to do with the Asia continent.
No, it stands for the American Spinal Injury Association.
Uh-huh.
And A is basically the grade of the... of the injury.
I see.
Between
okay.
A and E, and it, depending on the severity of the injury, you get assigned a grade. E means ambulatory, A means total paralysis.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
This movie's obviously about someone who's paralyzed, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Right. So, and that would be like a long story, I would think. So, you guys had to fit it in how many minutes?
20.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Wow. So, I would imagine, and like we've talked about before here, in a short film, you really have to focus on every second of it because you don't have a long time to tell the story, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So, Roberto, how did you come to write the story?
Well, Andrew started with the story. It's very important to him. It's a very personal story. So he started working on it, and it came to a point where he felt he had all the elements he wanted, but he wanted to bring in a writer to really just take it from there.
Right.
So kind of what happened with Jake, he put uh-huh. out a call for writers. I answered it, and I pitched him my take on it.
Wow.
And he liked what I had to say. He later told me that it was because I told him what he didn't want to hear.
Right.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, let's do it. And I just took it from there. And from then on, it was just working draft after draft and just kind of fine-tuning a lot of elements, turning some of them on their heads. And
right, right.
Right.
Had you written other screenplays before, or are you pretty new at this?
No, I've been writing for a while now.
Really?
Yeah.
Very cool. Where are you originally from?
Colombia.
Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Ah. I can hear the accent a little bit. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, he might resent it, but so do I. When the first question people ask me is, where are you from?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's an accent. You learn to live with it, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think accents are way cooler than not having an accent. Like, I'd be so much cooler if I had an accent.
It depends how you look at it. You know, when you come from abroad, you kind of want to fit in, you know, and assimilate. You want to sound like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. And how many years ago did you come out here?
Well, I came out here this recent time for USC. It was about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you came here to study at USC?
Yeah.
That's cool. And they have, like, what, the best film school, right?
Yeah.
That's what they say, right? So you got to be pretty smart to get into USC, though, right? So how did you did well in school and stuff back in Colombia?
I'd say pretty good.
What did you take in college?
In college, I also did film screenwriting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, very cool. At Columbia University?
No, I actually went to UT.
Okay. So that's University of Texas?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Go Longhorns.
Very cool. You see, I've just been to local schools here. I don't have any fun. What about you, Jake? Where did you go to school?
So I went to undergrad back at Wesleyan University.
Where is that?
Middletown, Connecticut, right in between New Haven.
Are you from the East Coast?
No, I was born in Van Nuys.
Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. So how did you end up there? It's just the school that you liked?
It's a phenomenal liberal arts school. I figured the only time to really move away from home and not have the consequences
is college.
Mm-hmm. So I knew I could always move back home.
Yeah.
I wanted to find a great education. I played baseball there. They had a phenomenal film program. So it really gave me the opportunity to do everything. I was a math and chemistry double major. I minored in film.
Really?
Played sports. So I tried to take advantage of that full situation, and I realized through that experience that film was what I loved to do.
Really?
Not being in a lab. So
yeah.
Right.
Very cool.
USC for grad school, and now we're here.
Yeah. So you went to USC as well for grad.
Yeah.
Very cool. You guys didn't know each other at the time, though, right?
No.
So how long ago did you guys meet and start working together?
Last March.
Yeah.
I came on last March. I know you came on a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Right.
So the project took like a little over a year.
Yes.
Yeah.
In terms of the script, it took us a while because we were, I guess, in the middle of the program. So we were working on the film and on the script as we were working on everything else. For me, that meant multiple projects at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
And we went through a lot of drafts, just because it was important to us to do the story justice and to balance what is accuracy with drama.
Right.
And knowing where to draw the line in each situation.
So. Yeah, that's very true.
Wow. So that's cool. Now, I just got distracted. So the film is called Asia A. And Jake, tell us a little bit about the story. What's this involving?
Yeah, so the story, it's going to sound like a very deep, dramatic story, but we wanted to make it uplifting so that it's universally relatable.
Right.
So it's based on Andrew's life, as Roberto said before. Andrew was on spring break. He was 21 years old. He woke up one morning with shooting pain in his back. He's walking up the stairs, falls down, paralyzed from his waist down. His friends catch him, rush him to the hospital. Found out he had extra blood vessels by his spine that burst.
Wow.
He was diagnosed Asia A, told he would never walk again.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years later, with intense rehab, perseverance, he's walking with a cane.
Wow.
So it's the story is about a college basketball player. We pick him up in an inpatient rehabilitation facility where he is told that he's Asia A. He'll never walk again.
Wow.
And he has to make the decision. Is he going to give up or is he going to persevere, take that wheelchair and get back out in the world and realize that he is the same person.
Right.
Something happened to him, and it's about finding himself. And his quirky, vulgar roommate helps show him maybe what not to do with his life and helps push him towards hope and towards perseverance.
Right.
Very cool. So this is about this relationship between the two guys in the hospital room.
Yeah, in part. There are three different relationships in the film, which is Marquise with his roommate. Who's
my brother's name?
Marquise is the main character, and his roommate is sort of a cautionary tale of what he shouldn't do or what his future would look like if he makes the wrong decisions.
Right.
There's the relationship he has with his occupational therapist, who is, I guess, sort of the main mentor, the one pushing him to do what he should be doing.
Right.
And then it's his relationship with his girlfriend, who he's not letting see him. just doesn't let her into the room, and we found out towards the end exactly why. But all throughout, it's navigating those three different ones and trying to redefine himself as an athlete, a boyfriend, and just as a man.
Right.
Very interesting. So this would be like, so this takes a lot of thought. Now, I was wondering, so for Andrew, was the story, when did that happen to him? That's what I'm trying to find
out. Spring break.
In real life.
Spring break.
Yeah, but when?
21.
21. Yeah. So I think he's 28 or 29 now, so 7
years. Oh, so it's not that long ago, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought he was like going to be like 40 or 50 in my head. That's what I was thinking, a 40-year-old man.
Oh, wow. So it's a young man.
Yes.
Wow. So, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think what I would have done, you know? I would die, you know?
It's like a touchy subject. Like, I know if I see a movie, like anything with cancer, anything that has to do with health, I want to watch it. I really do. I can't really get myself, because then I get scared and I start thinking of like all the possibilities of what if this happened to me. But it's like no one really talks about that type of stuff. Like no one's always like, hey, what's going to happen if I got into a car accident tomorrow and I can't walk ever again?
That I know.
Scares me.
That's pretty scary, man.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing is that you're talking about a perseverance and everything and a situation where you probably feel there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work so hard at it that you can actually overcome it.
Right.
You know?
I think it's maybe mentality. On his case, on his pop blood vessels, could that ever happen to him again? Or did they remove them?
You know, that's a great question. I believe he was just born with extra blood vessels that burst. I don't think it can happen to him again. It's very rare, so it's not something.
Wow, because I've never
heard
of that.
You guys have to worry about necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. How do you find out if you have that?
I think it's called ABM.
I believe that's right.
Yeah, and there are ways to detect it, but you have to know what you're looking for, from what I understand. So
Yeah. But see, so you learn something new every day. I would have never known unless you guys came here, or unless you guys. It's different. Is it the exact same condition in the movie, or?
In the movie, we never say what happened to him, but it's sort of what it's understood between Andrew and me as we were writing it.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. So in order to write that, I mean, you really had to get like into the character and everything and imagine what it was like, what would go through their mind and everything, right?
Right.
So how long did it take you actually to put this together?
Well, there were several steps. First one was just very long, very honest talks with Andrew. Just to get an idea, a sense of what he went through, to get not just the factual stuff, but the emotional aspects of it.
Right.
Because it's something that no matter how hard you try, you're never going to actually imagine fully.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get there.
Right.
So part of what I relied on was trying to do more emotional honesty, trying to figure out where he is emotionally as a character and chart that journey. So we did something closer to the 5 stages of grief.
Right.
So because not everyone has had that experience, but everyone has experienced loss in some way.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was taking that structure of emotions and emotional journey and superimposing it on the film and on Marquise's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that was my way into the character, to emotionally relate and empathize, because I've had loss, everyone has had loss, and it's something everyone can touch.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jake, had you done anything before this as far as production and producing and things like that?
Yes. So I actually started with a production company my freshman year of high school. Worked with him. It was one guy.
Yeah.
David Roundtree, who was my mentor and why I'm into film today. He was amazing.
Really?
But we worked on commercial competitions and short films. I was an assistant to him on a horror film that we did, which is on Amazon, it's called Cut, which is, you know, low budget, but it's a really great story. And then he said, hey, we should do something together. So we co-wrote and produced a baseball romantic comedy, which came out in theaters in 2014.
What's the name of it? I probably saw it.
It's called 108 Stitches. You can now stream it on Amazon Prime for free.
I'm going to watch it.
It's fun. It's an enjoyable, entertaining movie. And then from there, I realized I want to be a producer. I want to go to film school. So went to USC, produced 4 short films there. Asia A is one of them. They're all going to festivals now, and now I work at MGM full-time, learning as much as I can there while producing on the side. So
that's cool. So you're here to tell that if you start early on at high school and everything, you can actually get somewhere in your 20s and 30s, right?
Yeah, because you guys look
there
really young.
Go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, like super young. I'm like, holy shit, I haven't done anything with my life.
Listen, everybody starts at a different stage, you know? I mean, relax, please.
Oh, no, it's impressive.
Yeah, no, very much so, you know. So how many, like, what size cast did you guys have in the movie? How many people
it
are
was
like?
Pretty small. There yeah. are four characters that actually have speaking roles.
Right.
Which is the ones I mentioned. Marquise, his roommate, his girlfriend, and the occupational therapist.
The therapist, right.
Then we have a nurse, and we have his actual doctor.
Right.
And his best friend.
Oh, and his best friend, right. So five speaking roles.
So the whole thing takes place in the hospital, right?
98% of the movie takes place in one room.
Yeah, in one room. That's
in one room.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I saw he comes out of the room and
there's
and
a nightmare
all that
sequence
stuff,
in a hallway. So we have one room and we have the hospital hallway.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, look, I can't help but think that my mom needs to watch this film because she's on a wheelchair and she doesn't need to be, you see? And she won't try. And I'm, you
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah, you
this,
said that.
Yeah, and this would be like, look, you know, I told her, I said, you know, if this had happened to me, I said I would do everything I could mm-hmm. to stand back on my feet. I said I would work 10 hours a day
right.
doing that. Mm-hmm. I said, you got all the time in the world. You're not doing shit, you know? What is this?
But can she walk right now?
No, no, she can't walk. But that's because she sat on the wheel for 2 years.
Yeah.
So she needs a lot of work now to be able to walk again.
Right.
And she has no desire to. So, but that's, you know, when you're much older, I can imagine when you're very young, you still have that drive to live and overcome things and stuff. So now, have you guys shown this film around yet? Has it been around the circuit yet?
So we started, our premiere was on July 31st at the LA International Shorts Film Festival. 2 weeks later, we were at Holly Shorts. Then we found out we were a semifinalist for the Student Oscars, which was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
We're one of 11 films in competition on Saturday the 8th, Martha's Vineyard International Film Festival.
Are you guys going to Martha's Vineyard?
Andrew's going.
Yeah.
He's the only one who's making the journey, but he'll be representing the film, which is very exciting for mm-hmm. him to be there since it's his story.
Right. Right.
And then we'll be at the SCAD Film Festival a couple of weeks after. So 5 weeks, five laurels. We're excited to just show people the story
right.
because while it is, you know, a very touchy subject and it's very deep,
yeah,
it's still a very enjoyable, uplifting story. So even if, you know, my mom doesn't like to watch
yeah.
stories about cancer or kids dying,
right.
nothing like that, but this, because it picks up after the injury, it's really just about perseverance.
Right.
We've all had loss, we've all had something that we need to overcome,
right?
So the story is actually you leave the theater feeling good about yourself, inspired to go get out of the wheelchair, you know, pass the test, whatever it is that you have to do in your life next, small or big, you're able to
right.
with that mentality of I can do it.
Right,
right. right. So now, so we said that Andrew is the director. Is he also playing the main role?
No.
No. So who is that? Because I kept thinking this is Andrew.
The character's name is Marquise. He's a basketball player.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but it's a character's name. I mean, they could make it like kind of fictional, but still.
Have him play the role.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, let's talk a little bit about the cast. I mean, you know, they deserve the credit.
Unbelievable so, cast.
My yeah. brother's name is actually Marquise, and he was a basketball player, and my roommate's actually an occupational therapist.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we went to the wrong place for casting.
I know. Yeah.
There you go. You could have gotten real life.
So our cast was led. Marquise was played by the incredible London Brown, who you can see on Ballers right now. He plays Reggie,
uh-huh.
and I can't imagine anybody playing that role better. I mean,
right.
he really brought everything to that role.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and he looks pretty intense in the.
He's very intense, and he just you feel his performance. You feel
yeah.
as if he is going through this, just like Andrew was going
mm-hmm.
through it.
Yeah.
And then his roommate Noah is played by Pruitt Taylor Vince, who's been in 104 credits. He was in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Stranger Things Season 2, literally right after the Duffer Brothers and Joss Whedon called him the week that we were shooting to say, hey, we want you.
Really?
And he said, I have a short film. I'm free after that. And, I mean, being able to work with an Emmy Award-winning actor and
right.
just see what acting... I mean, he is the epitome of acting.
Right.
He can
wow.
do... He's a character mm-hmm. actor. He can do anything
mm-hmm.
extremely well. Then we had Elizabeth Keener, who was on The L Word years ago. She was our OT, and that really rounds out our main cast.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't have been happier.
Very cool. Very cool. So, and of course, we want to know about how long did it take to put together the film? Well, it took you a while to write it and everything,
yeah.
right?
What about filming it? Like 5 days?
5 days.
Yeah.
She laughs. She thinks it's funny that every movie takes 5 days.
That's so weird to me.
5 days. So we actually, so the hospital room that it takes place in, inpatient rehabilitation facility, really, we built. Eric and I, with a carpenter, built that set with our bare hands.
Wow.
On July 31st, 2017, and exactly 1 year later,
it was the premiere.
Yeah.
Aw. That's my mom's birthday. I feel like this movie, it's kind of freaking me out.
Why? too close to you.
Yeah, I'm like, why is everything like...
familiar to her in her life. But no, we don't wish this on anybody, really.
No.
I mean, that kind of a disability is I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine such a loss. And
it's a tough conversation to have, too. Like, if you're, like, ever taught, like, me and Gabby have tried to have that conversation. Like, if I was ever, like, told I could never walk again, or if I was in a coma or something, like, what I'd want to do. I feel like after, like, a month or two, I would probably be like, I'm done.
Really?
Yeah.
Or you might be the other way. You might be really depressed and then go, wait a minute, maybe there's some hope and stuff.
It's hard to tell and it's hard to think of. Like, you don't want to ever, like, think about it.
But this is probably the thought process that he had, right?
Yeah.
In the film is like, you know, how do I respond to this? How do I handle this?
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, they say, you know, life is really not about what happens to you, but how you respond to it, how you react to it, you know? So, I'm looking forward to seeing this. This has got to be a pretty emotional film.
So where can people actually watch it?
Right now?
Yeah.
Buy a ticket to the film festival.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what they all say, you know? Every time they come here, it's like, but our listeners may not be able to make it to the festival. What's the plan afterwards? How do you distribute a movie like this? Short films. Is it hard?
You should put it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. There isn't really a market for short films. It's really the film festival circuit.
Yeah,
so.
Right. There really isn't, because it's like not like, very rarely are short films in theaters, and even if they are, it's not, no one's going to go to the theater to see a 20-minute movie.
Right, exactly. So what I'm saying, though, is I guess, so
I would put it on YouTube.
In a festival, they have
20 minutes is nothing. I'll watch a 20-minute, I'll watch a 50-long-minute video on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate goal is Roberto and Andrew have been working on a feature film. This is ultimately a proof of concept for something much, much larger.
So, like, this is just, like, kind of, like, the beginning to see what the reaction is, and if it's good, then you'll make it a feature. That's exactly what the filmmaker said on Friday, too. I mean, that makes sense, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like it could definitely be a feature film.
Yeah, and we're already working on it.
Yeah, because I'm like, everyone's going to want to know how he got there. His life before he got injured, and then so on and so forth. But I don't know if I could sit through it. There was a movie on Netflix called I Miss You Already, and I could just tell by the title somebody's dying, and I can't watch it. I was like, I can't watch it. Look, the picture looked great, the poster, but I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah,
because I cry so hard. I cried in Coco 4 times. The end.
So did I.
Yeah, I'm like,
there's a reason to cry.
Like every Disney movie. Have you guys seen The Good Dinosaur?
Yes.
Not yet.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry in that one.
Oh,
but
my God.
It was great.
I cried so much. I keep telling him to watch it.
Yeah, I still need to see that one. But I can't figure out why Coco was popular, but you know, I'm telling you.
It was so good.
Well, to me, it was boring. You know, I mean, that
you know what? I liked
City
it
of the Dead or whatever they call them. It was like too repetitive for me. You know, I mean. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I liked about it? I liked the fact that no one really makes movies about Mexican culture ever.
Yeah, well, that was a cool part about it, but that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, they spent all the time with the dead people. I'm like, what's going on here, you know? But look, the graphics, the storytelling is unbelievable. There's no... So I looked at it more from a technical point of view.
Yeah.
That's why I enjoyed it.
I thought it was a great story, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Yours sounds great, too. I'm going to watch you guys's. Am I going to cry, though?
Probably.
I don't think anybody's cried yet. Should be laughing.
Oh, so, okay.
It's
so it has some it has some humor in there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys do some humor in there?
Yes. You need the humor so you don't cry.
And I always wondered how relationships would work if someone in the relationship ended up paralyzed.
Yeah. That's a hard one. That's a hard one.
Because, like, sex is gone.
Out the door.
Yeah.
But sex is not everything.
Not everything. But
if
you're young.
I mean, with Christopher Reeves, his wife stayed with him and helped him with his recovery.
Superman?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
The first one, yeah.
He fell off a horse?
Yeah.
That makes me scared of horseback ride.
Yeah. Everything's got danger, you know? Don't leave the house, then.
I know. When you go to laser tag now, you got to sign, like, this long contract. Like, something terrible is going to happen when you're playing laser tag. I'm like, what is this?
Right. Yeah, so and even at home, you're not safe. You know, with my brother's cat now, I'm constantly afraid he's going to scratch me and bite me.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's nothing?
No.
Yeah, well, I put my face too close to him. If he claws my fucking eye out, I'll be really fucking upset, yeah. You know? Yeah. So there you go. Now, do you guys have a trailer that people can watch, at least get an idea of what the film is like?
We do have a trailer.
I don't
know if it's available to everybody. I brought it up here, and yeah, but yeah, that would be cool, you know. Now we're really teasing the people because everybody wants to see it.
I know.
They can't see it.
Our trailer should be dropping in the next week or two.
So we can't wait. We can't even watch it unless we go to the festival.
No, we can.
Oh,
the whole film, though.
Yeah, I was like, not the trailer.
Yeah, no, the trailer I have a link to, but
yeah.
Yeah, no, we can't watch it either.
Yeah.
But now after festivals, though, don't they like sometimes have like special showings of maybe a couple of short films, three, four, at the same time, or is it always part of a festival?
I'm very new to the whole festival circuit, the short circuit. Mm-hmm. I believe it's short films are usually only shown in festivals and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're shown in blocks of seven to ten films.
Right.
Usually running about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So for us, being a 20-minute film, while it was great for us to tell the story because we wanted every single second of it, it's hard to program a 20-minute film in a 90-minute block.
Right.
You want to get as many fantastic films as possible. So
we're
very happy that 20 minutes hasn't been a hindrance yet for us.
Very cool. Now, are you nominated for any awards yet? You said you won some, right?
We haven't won any award per se. We were a semifinalist in the Student Academy Awards, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're in competition in all of the festivals. But there are hundreds to 11 at Martha's Vineyard films that are all phenomenal, great filmmakers, great stories. So for us, it's great to be included. We want people to see the film, which is why we made it. Hopefully somebody who loves the film so much and wants to help us make the feature financially would be amazing.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal. Let's tell Andrew's story. Let's bring something that we haven't seen to the world.
So it has to be like a labor of love because obviously you're not going to be rich from a short film where there's a few people involved and everything. So this is more to showcase your talent, to show what you can do, right? So you can pick up bigger projects and stuff. And that's amazing to me.
A couple months ago, we had a film producer on here. I forget his name. I loved him, though. He had an awesome personality.
Right.
He had the movie where they accused a guy of rape, then they weren't sure if he did it, and then he got out of jail. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
He started at a film festival, and that's how his career started.
Right, yeah.
He, like, did a... And now he's, like, a big-time producer.
Right. And, yeah, and like I was telling our guests beforehand, is that the publicist always seems to work with people that are very successful. So I congratulate you for working with her because she's got quite a track record.
During the Oscars weekend, we had like
we had a couple of nominations and also wins, right? A couple of the guests that were here have won. So that would be cool. And that gets you a lot of exposure, I guess, right? A lot of visibility when you win these things.
Yeah. So it's Catherine Scott at London Flair PR. Her and her team have been really amazing getting us interviews, getting us here. So thank you guys for having us. Yeah. It's been great to talk about the story.
Of course. Yeah. It's amazing. And you guys are cool, too. And
we just wish we could tell people where to watch it. Go to the film festival.
Go to the film festival soon. Soon, hopefully, we'll have the feature. And if not, once it's done with its run, it'll be out for people to see.
Right. So what's next for both of y'all? Besides the feature, obviously. Yeah.
Well, right now, that's where most of my attention
time
is going to, just because we're working right now on a second draft, and we're just pushing ahead, trying to get it into as many fellowships as possible, trying to get as much attention to it as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really expands a lot on what the short put out. We take a look at his life before the injury and after the injury and how that's affected his relationship with his girlfriend throughout.
Right.
And the question also changes. It's not just a question of whether or not he gets better, but what is he willing to sacrifice in the pursuit of getting better?
And
everyone has a different
price. He's willing to pay,
So that's what it's for me right now.
How long, like, how do you, I always ask this to every writer that comes on, but I always like to get the different answers. How do you write a script? Like, do you have to like, do you drink a lot? Do you smoke some weed? Do you have to like sit in a room by yourself for like 10 hours? Like, I always, no, I'm not even kidding.
No, but everybody's probably got their own style. I would probably be smoking weed and writing.
Same, probably. I would feel like I'd have to be like completely by myself, like sitting on a lake on tons of Adderall, I feel like, literally like trying to bang it out. Like I was filming a reality show 2 weeks ago and someone was on there writing 3 movies for Netflix and they gave her a deadline that she only had, I think, 4 weeks to get six scripts done or something. And she's like, I just haven't slept. And I'm like, how do you put like all your effort into 6 different scripts though? 6 different stories without being like all over the place.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Like, do you just pretend you're like the characters and you have conversations with yourself?
Well, the first thing you do is figure out what the story is about. Right. And for example, in this case, it's not just about someone with a spinal cord injury.
Right.
It's either about hope or perseverance or what are you willing to give up to get what you want.
Right.
And once you have that down, then you start building out the very, very basic arcs and shapes of the story. And when you have enough that the scenes or the characters are just writing themselves, you just go to pages and you see what happens in the first draft. And you put it out, then you take a look at what you did.
Right.
Most of the time, you'll probably throw away a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then you just go at it again, but now you have a laser focus because you can see it on the page, you saw what works, what didn't, you could have come up with something really, really great at the end, and now you got to go back to the start and put it in.
Right.
And then you just kind of keep going and keep refining. It's like, I guess, purifying a
And you have to type it like a certain way too, right?
Yeah. The formatting and the tenses.
All right, one more question.
Yes.
So in a movie when, like, say someone's having a conversation and then, like, midway through, like, say it's a boyfriend and a girlfriend and, like, the boyfriend, like, tucks her hair behind her ear, is that, like, improv or you write that in the script? Like, and then he gently, you know.
I guess it's both. You could write it, but then the actress can just take it from there.
Yeah.
You can't include every little...
Detail.
Yeah, detail in the script, but sometimes you'll include one gesture.
Right.
So it
and
could
that
have
can
been
go anywhere.
Script. Yeah, or it could have just been the actors just going with it.
Yeah. So. That's cool.
Yeah.
I always wondered that. I'm like, how did this... Like, I just watched that movie on Netflix, All the Boys I've Loved Before. It's probably like one of my favorite movies I've watched in like 2 years.
Really?
I've already seen it 3 times. It came out last week.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I want to write a romance film. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because I'm because I'm writing a book right now, but I really want to write a movie. Like an old school love film. Because nobody makes them anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Like nobody. Like nobody makes movies like Never Been Kissed, She's All That.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
I know. Well, you know, it depends on how you look at it. You know, it's like, it's a generational thing, maybe. I feel
like everything's a remake, right? Don't you feel like for the past, like, years, it's just been Marvel movies and remakes? Which is great, but people want to fall in love again in the movie theater. You should write another romance film.
Yeah. So, are you guys planning to collaborate more? I guess it's the feature, right?
Yeah.
So, do you guys have time to do anything else on the side as well, or
I know,
or is that like full time for you?
I'm known to do a thing or two on the side. So, as I said, I work full time at MGM in feature development during the day. And
what's MGM?
Metro Golden Mayer, the film studio.
MGM's a hotel too, right?
Well, yeah, it belongs
no
to
longer.
Them.
Associated
They're
with
not
the
associated
studio.
With the studio. Anymore.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the biggest studios ever.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
The one with the lion in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So I work there by day, and then at night, I'm shooting a commercial in 2 weeks, getting ready to do another short film in December, going out to raise money for a feature, and then developing 4 other features, multiple short films, constantly moving. My nights and weekends are full with doing other things,
working right.
with talented people like Roberto to
right.
try to bring new stories, promote new voices, and just make moving content that people go to the theater, they watch your movie, and a year later they're still thinking about something touched them in a way that
right.
is hopefully helping them in their own life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, aside from working on the AJA feature, I'm just constantly developing new pilots, new features. I haven't dipped back into the world of shorts, but I still have a couple I wanna get made.
Right.
Yeah. So aside from the feature, I was still working on a pilot and a different action adventure feature.
Mm-hmm.
And after this, I have to go back to a horror feature I was working on.
I love horror films.
Okay.
So
well,
it's just a lot of projects all the time.
Yeah. You like horror films.
I do, true. But it's so scary. It's so funny because I'm scared of the dark. So I'll watch them and then I'll sleep with the lights on.
Yeah. So you write in different genres as well, right?
Yes. Yes, I right now I'm mostly focusing on genre, which it would be thriller, actions, horrors.
Mm-hmm.
But I cut my teeth in dramas. Drama is what I started out in, and I just love writing.
Right.
Yeah, very nice. Well, you know, I envy you guys for being able to do what you love to do, although I do too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's still, it's very cool when you're able to put things together in teams, you know, people working together towards something. And I would imagine for you, it would be a lot of, like a lot of behind the scenes, putting things together, right?
Yeah.
That's what producing is all about.
Yeah. I thought producing was like you were on set and like when a scene was going a certain way, you'd be like, cut, do this instead.
That's
no?
the director.
There's a misconception. A lot of people don't know what producers do.
Right.
Because
I thought it was that. I was like, okay, they're saying cut, do that again. No?
Nope, that's the director.
Oh, okay.
Director's on set working with the actors, deciding with the director of photography how the film's going to look and,
gotcha.
And how the actors are going to move within gotcha. The scene. But as a producer, normally a producer's going out, finding stories, working with the writer, and then bringing on a director to bring the most out of that story. And then we assemble the team that's going to creatively bring the most out of that story.
Right.
And then it's, you know, we're literally behind the scenes organizing everything to make sure that the film can look exactly the way the writer and the director
right.
want it to look.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not an easy task either, right?
No, it's, you never know. It's a team sport. You're assembling the best team possible and you hope that on the day everyone does their job, all
right.
cylinders are firing, and sometimes they're not and you have to step in and make a change or figure out a way to pick up the slack.
Right.
Because ultimately everyone's there for one goal, is to make the story
right.
rise above.
Right.
Right. That's
right.
very true.
Absolutely. Wow.
So here I was thinking Ben Affleck was like direct. Is he a director or a producer?
He does both.
Oh, yeah,
he does everything.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be Batman, but everything else is fine. He's a okay, terrible Batman.
I didn't see him as Batman, so I can't comment on
oh
it.
My God. After you have Christian Bale, oh,
yeah.
it's tough. It's real yeah. tough. Plus, he was Daredevil, so you can't be two superheroes.
That's true.
Ryan
that's
Reynolds was two superheroes. He was Green Lantern, and then now he's Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. Green Lantern was terrible.
He kind of corrected the whole Green Lantern.
He did. He has made up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Deadpool 2 was okay.
Yeah, Deadpool was
I watched
good.
It.
Oh, the second one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the first.
Really?
Yeah, I was very shocked.
Oh.
It was good, but it wasn't as good as the first, I thought.
I'm not big on sequels, period. You know, I mean, it's like once the story is out, you know, what can you do with it? But especially when many films are like new concepts or something, like The Matrix, for example, right?
I never saw it.
You got to see it. Listen, you got to see it. But the first one was mind-blowing, but then the second and the third are like, what do you have to add to that already?
Well, I can't disagree.
We already know the premise.
John Wick, the second one was fucking...
I love John Wick.
Oh,
yeah.
I just saw a picture of the third one. They're like filming the third one right now and I'm counting down. I
really?
Cannot wait.
So that sequel is better, you're saying?
So good.
Okay.
From beginning to end.
Because the first one I wasn't that impressed with. That's why the second one I'm kind of...
I've seen both probably over 20 times.
Yeah,
I know it word for word.
Yeah.
I could be in my kitchen and hear it and like recite with the movie. That's how many times I've seen both of them. The first and the second. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for the third. And he's so hot.
Yeah.
He's so underrated. I wonder where he's hiding out.
I don't know.
I heard he's single.
Gentlemen, we're just about out of time. Why don't you promote yourselves? How can we find out more about the film and maybe your own handles on social media so people can contact you?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page for the film, Asia A. We have a website, whatisasiaa.com. We've
mm-hmm.
done a lot of interviews with quadriplegics and paraplegics to try to tell their story because
mm-hmm.
this is a two-hander. It's raise awareness about Asia patients and what they go through, but also tell a great narrative story, which I think we've done.
Right.
You can follow me on Instagram, Jay Katofsky.
I would spell that.
JKATOFSKY, Cat of
go.
Sky, but starting with a K.
Yeah.
On Facebook, that's really it. What about you, Roberta?
Well, about the same. Follow me on Instagram at Bob Saie. That's BOBSAIEH.
Mm-hmm.
And you already covered all the Asia A stuff, so yeah. That's about it. Yeah.
Very cool. And how about just personally, you guys have relationships? Are you like in good places in your life?
Okay, are you guys single, dating? That's what he's asking. Yeah.
He likes
to ask everybody that comes on.
Well, you know, because some of our female listeners might be interested.
No, I've been in a wonderful relationship for almost three years in October.
Congratulations.
So very much looking forward to seeing where that goes.
That's good.
That's
if you make it past 3 years, you're...
You think
you're doing good. Relationships don't make it past like 3 months now, especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, we wish you all the best, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, you're a lot of fun. You're very interesting. And we really, I was enlightened about the situation of losing your motor abilities, you know. I mean, when you think about it, because normally you don't think about these things. But when you do, you guys actually took it and dissected it and analyzed how somebody would deal with something like that.
Well, yeah, and Andrew obviously gives a little glimmer of hope for anyone listening that is going through that, because if he can do it, maybe other people can do it
too. Exactly, and you can overcome anything.
Right.
All right, the film is Asia A. Try to catch it in one of the festival circuits if you can't. Well, at least you had a good hour here talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you, everybody. Danny, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
And thanks for being a little considerate with your purse.
I don't care. As long as it's not on the floor. Okay. Sorry for being crabby this morning.
No, I'll bring you a chair next time. We'll have it special.
You know why
chair.
I'm crabby? It always has to do with a guy.
Oh, okay.
I went to bed angry. I woke up angry, but I'm fine now.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you're taking it out on me.
Yeah,
it
you're
feels
welcome.
Very nice. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.